on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, 119 pubs have closed in Donegal since 2005. Six people have been hospitalised following two separate crashes in Inishowen over the past 24 hours. Police are investigating what they have described as a calculated and callous attack in the Gallia area of Derry last night involving around 10 masked men. 182 COVID-related deaths have been recorded in Donegal, according to the latest CSO figures. And an innovating communities project is being rolled out in Dunfanaghy. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15, followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. First news though, there's been a stark decline in the number of pubs in Donegal over the past 16 years. 119 pubs closed in Donegal between 2005 and 2021, including 33 closures over the pandemic, equating to 26.3% of the total number in the county. Latest figures from the Drinks Industry Group of Ireland show there are over 1,800 fewer pubs across the country since 2005. Martin Harley, treasurer of the Donegal branch of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, says the decline is due to a number of factors.
We've seen this kind of probably coming down the years from the membership within the VFA in Donegal as well. It wasn't that people were leaving as members, just the pubs were closing up. It's probably a combination of a lot of factors. Probably less people going out, more supermarkets, more drinking sold in supermarkets, people drinking at home. And that's just the way things have gone. It's just a change in the whole way people are going about their lives.
33 pubs that have closed over the pandemic as well, so that probably sped up the process for a lot of rural pubs that may have been in decline in the first place.
The age profile of a lot of the rural pubs would have been an older age category, and a lot of those pubs were maybe just staying open for a number of locals that would have always come in, and they probably realised then during the pandemic that people had to act in a different way, and they called a time on it themselves and retired themselves as well. Going forward, I cannot see the numbers going up again either. I still think if we talked again in 10 years' time, that number will have dropped a lot further again. I suppose there's a different state of a pub out there now, and with cafe bars and all that there. So it's, and with all the overheads that are involved, it's tough to make a living out of it. When you look at England over the last 20 years, I've noticed the way England changed so much that many, all the pubs in England now that you go into have some type of food offering, and that seems to be the way it's going, but it just isn't at the present moment. To staff these places is a bit of a nightmare, isn't it?
A total of six people have been hospitalised following two separate crashes in Inishowen over the past 24 hours. A car struck a number of pedestrians in Clonmany yesterday evening, while two teenagers were injured in a bus crash outside Buncrana in the early hours of this morning. Donna Marie Doherty reports.
Yesterday evening at around 6:30 p.m, a vehicle struck three pedestrians on Clonmany Main Street after the driver suffered a health incident. The motorist and pedestrians were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment to non-life-threatening injuries. Investigations are continuing into the incident. Meanwhile, in the early hours of this morning, two male teenagers were taken to hospital following a bus crash outside Buncrana. Gardaí and emergency services attended the scene of the single vehicle collision on the Buncrana to Clonmany Road near the North Pole at around 1 a.m. this morning. The teens suffered non-life-threatening injuries and were taken to hospital. No arrests have been made. Gardaí said investigations are ongoing.
Police are investigating what they have described as a calculated and callous attack in the Gallia area of Derry last night involving around 10 masked men. Shortly after 11 o'clock, the men, believed to have been armed with baseball bats, started a fire on the bonnet of a car parked in the Moss Park area and smashed a number of windows at the property before making off. The occupants of the house were not injured. Police say they are treating the incident as arson with intent to endanger life. Anyone with information is asked to come forward. Meanwhile, a man in his 30s was arrested on suspicion of possession of an offensive weapon in Omagh this afternoon. It follows an incident in the Market Street area. The man is currently in police custody. Police are appealing to anyone who was in the area between 1 o'clock and 2:30 to contact police on 101. Almost a third of COVID-19 deaths in Ireland occurred in nursing homes, according to figures published today by the CSO. There were 5,384 deaths attributed to the virus between March 2020 and February of this year. Of those, 182 were recorded in Donegal. That's 3.3% of the national total. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In the 2 years between March 2020 and the end of February 2022, there were 182 deaths in Donegal attributed to COVID-19. Central Statistics Office figures this morning show none of those who died in the county was under 34. One death was recorded in the 35 to 44 age group, five in the 45 to 54 age group, and 14 deaths were recorded in people aged between 55 and 64. 32 COVID deaths were reported in people aged between 65 and 74, while 55 of those who died were aged between 75 and 84. The largest number of deaths, 75, was recorded in people aged 85 and over.
13 whole and 14 partial bodies that haven't been named are in the care of the state. The 27 unidentified remains were recovered over the past 70 years. A national database has been proposed to give clarity to family members of missing persons. Former Cold Case Unit Sergeant Alan Bailey says DNA evidence can be traced for years and years.
We saw that with the bog bodies here. DNA is still available thousands of years later. So if the DNA samples are created, our DNA profiles are created from those bodies and there's a match on the computer, they will be found.
A man has died as a result of a crash in County Derry on Tuesday evening. It happened on Smith Street in Moneymore shortly after 5 o'clock. The victim was the driver of a blue BMW Z3 which collided with a HGV lorry. Police are appealing for witnesses. The HSE has issued a statement in response to a HICWA report published yesterday on a residential centre for people with mild to moderate intellectual disabilities in Donegal Town. Two non-compliances were identified at Tosnua, while five regulations were found to be substantially compliant. The HSE says to address the areas identified, staff training is ongoing, a fire evacuation plan has been implemented, behaviour support plans are being reviewed, medication protocols have been updated, and a schedule has been developed to address mandatory training requirements. A Dublin swim coach has been remanded on bail, having been charged with a dozen counts relating to the production and possession of child pornography and the exploitation of children. 31-year-old Matthew Coward was arrested in North Dublin this morning. Mairead Cleary reports.
Matthew Coward of Shantala Drive, Santry, Dublin 9, was arrested and charged this morning. He appeared before criminal courts of justice this afternoon, facing three counts of sexual exploitation and seven counts of producing child pornography, which took place at a Dublin swimming pool between September 1st, 2021 and the 17th of February this year. These charges involve three children. He also faces two counts of possession of child pornography in a separate location. Judge Duran Carroll granted bail to the swim coach under six conditions, including that he stays away from the pool in question, has no contact with any witnesses, and that he refrains from any coaching jobs. Mr. Coward is due before Blanchardstown District Court on the 13th of September, where a book of evidence will be presented. Mairead Cleary at the Criminal Courts of Justice.
A Donegal potato farmer says it's a very worrying time for the sector, with production costs increasing by 20%. The Irish Farmers Association recently warned that the increased cost may lead to fruit and vegetables becoming more expensive in shops. Charlie Doherty from BIRT says farmers are also struggling with the cost of electricity and food supplies. He says it's an unsettling time as he's unsure if the consumer will pay for the product if prices continue to rise.
Of all, astronomically, of everything, like your fertilizer, you know, the diesel, gas, like even something as simple as, you know, paper bags, like, you know, that you wouldn't even consider it. Like, you know, like, well, I go spuds myself, and, you know, the cost of paper bags have almost doubled in price, like, you know, and they were pretty expensive as they were, like, you know. And it's just down not being able to get stuff. But it is very worrying times now for farmers, because we have that amount of extra cost going on, and we don't know if even the customer's going to pay that extra for it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's what, you know, because I mean, as farmers, we're all price takers rather than, you know, you demand the price. It'll be supply and demand at the end of the day, and if they are scarce, fair enough, they will be more expensive. Like, but, you know, the farmers are incurring all these extra costs now, and we don't know if we're going to get it back or not. From my own point of view, as a potato farmer, like, our costs have gone up 20%, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if the housewife is going to pay 20% extra for them. That's my worry, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're not as scarce. And I can't charge that 20%. Like, I'm going to incur a huge loss. It's really worrying for myself now, you know, and other potato farmers around us, like, you know, that we won't get what we need. Like, even electricity costs, like, I have a fridge running there, and, you know, the electricity price is almost threefold up.
An innovating communities project is being rolled out in Dunfanaghy. Locals and visitors are being asked to make their views known on what investment and improvements they believe need to be made in the town and its environs. Rashi McNally, Heritage and Education Officer at the Workhouse, told today's 9 till noon show that the community contribution is at the core of the project.
We were approached both as representatives of the Workhouse and as individuals living in the communities. And so it's for everybody to get involved with, from people that might have a holiday home in the community, people that might just work here 5 days a week, to people that have been living here for 50 years. And it allows people to come in, have a discussion about what they would like to see in the community, what do they think needs done. These are the people that are in the community every day. These are the people that are engaging with the local heritage, with the local facilities and services and enterprises. And it's good too, because the people that are engaging with it are from different social backgrounds. They're able to have very specific inputs related to, for example, mothers might have a different opinion than a single person in their 60s might have. We have decided to launch a survey to really gather all this data and information. So our survey is actually made up of four different parts. So it's development, services, employment and recreational activities. And it can either be done through a hard copy or online.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with athletics, and Lucy McGlynn has set a new personal best time in the 100 metres hurdles at the World Under 20 Championships in Colombia this afternoon. The Chicornell AC 17-year-old came fourth in her heat, running 13.92. That's also a new Donegal record. Lucy just missed out on a place in the semi-finals by 0.02 of a second. Earlier in the week, Lucy came very close to her personal best in the 400 metre hurdle heats. Moving on to soccer, and what could be a huge night for the League of Ireland clubs in Europe gets underway inside the hour. St Patrick's Athletic there in Bulgaria for a meeting with CSKA Sofia in the first leg of their Europa Conference League third round qualifier. The same 11 line out for the visitors as last week. And Sligo Rovers there in Norway to take on Viking. John Russell has stuck with the same side that defeated Motherwell last week. Both of those games get underway at 6 o'clock. And Shamrock Rovers, they'll look to take a further step towards the group stages of the Europa League tonight. They host North Macedonian champions Skopje in the first leg of the third round qualifier. Kickoff in Tala is at 8 o'clock. Some news cross-channel. Manchester United left-back Alex Telles, he's completed a season-long switch loan to Sevilla. And Anthony Martial is set to miss United's Premier League opener against Brighton on Sunday. It's understood the French forward has a hamstring injury. The game will be the first for United in the Premier League under new boss Erik ten Hag. And Everton have been dealt a blow ahead of the new Premier League season, with striker Dominic Calvert-Lewin expected to be out for up to 6 weeks. The England international sustained a freak knee injury in training ahead of their fixture against Chelsea at Goodison Park on Saturday. In golf, it's day two of the R&A Women's and Men's Home Internationals in Ballyluffin Golf Club. The very best amateur golfers in Great Britain and Ireland, they're doing battle over the old links. Teams from England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales are playing each other in round-robin format over 3 days. Ireland are the defending men's champions, while England are defending women's champions. Each match consists of morning foursomes and afternoon singles games. Yesterday, Ireland defeated Scotland and England defeated Wales. In today's action, Ireland, they're playing Wales, and this morning they won the foursomes 4.5 to 2.5. Scotland playing England, and this morning's foursomes, England won that by 5-2. The players are out on the course currently playing the singles. The event finishes tomorrow. Elsewhere in golf, Leona Maguire's level par after 16 holes into her opening round at the Women's Open Championship at Muirfield. That leaves the Cavan native in a tie for 31st, 6 shots off the clubhouse leader Hinako Shibuno of Japan. Stephanie Meadow, she's 3 over par after 10 holes today. And at 1 under par, Paul Dunne's the best of the Irish after his opening round of the Kazoo Open in Wales. Niall Kearney is 1 over and Jonathan Caldwell 3 over. Cormac Sharvin, he's 6 over, 9 shots off the lead, held by Max Kiefer, who's in 3 under par. And Shane Lowry is the sole Irish interest at the Wyndham Championships in the PGA Tour in North Carolina this week. He tees off at just about 6 o'clock Irish time. John Huh is the clubhouse leader. He finished on 9 under par. In Gaelic games, Darren Gleeson set to remain on as Antrim's senior hurling manager. The Tipperary native has been handed a further 2 years by the Saffron's County Board. That will they will play next season in next season's Leinster Championship, having won this year's Joe McDonagh Cup. In rugby, the IRFU have confirmed that it will offer 43 professional contracts to elite women's players from next season. It's the first time that members of the 15s squad will be offered paid contracts. The IRFU says it will discuss the deals with the players before releasing any further details. And Gillian McDerby has been appointed to the role of Head of Women's Performance and Pathways. In other rugby news, Wales assistant Gareth Williams has left the national side to take up a role with Scarlets. He'll move to the United Rugby Union Championship side to be their defence coach. Williams has been working alongside Wayne Pivak since 2020, and his last test series was the recent tour of South Africa. Well, finally for this evening on the score this week, Oisin Kelly is joined by Anthony Gorman to look ahead to fixtures involving Finn Harps and Derry City in the Airtricity League Premier Division. In Gaelic games, last year's Donegal Intermediate Championship winning manager Michael Lynch runs the rule over the opening weekend's games in this year's championship. And in golf, John Farran tells us about this week's R&A Home Internationals at the Ballyluffin Golf Club. And Sean McFadden, he's in studio to preview Friday's start of the Donegal Ultra 555. That's the score after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And for weather now, a mix of sunshine and scattered cloud this evening with some blustery showers. Scattered showers will continue tonight and lowest temperatures of 7 to 11 degrees. The closing headlines this evening, there's been a stark decline in the number of pubs in Donegal over the past 16 years. 119 pubs closed in the county between 2005 and 2021. A total of 6 people have been hospitalised following 2 separate crashes in Inishowen over the past 24 hours. A car struck a number of pedestrians in Clonmany yesterday evening, while 2 teenagers were injured in a bus crash outside Buncrana in the early hours of this morning. Police are investigating what they have described as a calculated and callous attack in the Gaia area of Derry last night, involving around 10 masked men. Shortly after 11 o'clock, the men, believed to have been armed with baseball bats, started a fire on the bonnet of a car parked in the Moss Park area and smashed a number of windows at the property before making off. And almost a third of COVID-19 deaths in Ireland occurred in nursing homes, according to figures published today by the CSO. There were 5,384 deaths attributed to the virus between March 2020 and February of this year. Of those, 182 were recorded in Donegal. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear from Grace Mead, Development Officer with the Irish Organic Association. But first, Donegal farmers were among those who logged onto an IFA webinar last night to discuss the reductions in carbon emissions for the agricultural sector. The government has set binding sectoral targets to slash overall carbon emissions by 51% by 2030, with a 25% cut in in greenhouse gas emissions from the agricultural sector. The 25% target was much higher than farm groups had lobbied for, but lower than the 30% that environmentalists and representatives of some other sectors wanted. Well, on the webinar last night, IFA President Tim Cullinan said the farmers will adopt new measures, but there has to be funding, and farmers need to see a clear direction and pathway from the government. Well, there's little doubt that an increasing number of Donegal farmers may well look at going down the organic road in the years ahead. To find out more about this sector and the supports, I've been speaking with Grace Mead, Development Officer with the Irish Organic Association.
Thanks, Chris. I'm delighted to be speaking on your programme. The Irish Organic Association actually celebrates its 40th anniversary this year, so we've been around quite a long time. And our main role is to certify organic farmers. And we have farmers located right around the country, lots in Donegal, who are producing, processing and selling organic food at various retail outlets all across the country. So, as I said, we've been 40 years in business. We know what we're doing, and we're very much in the business also of promoting organic food, promoting what our members do, and generally spreading the organic message in terms of food production and the many, many benefits of organic food.
And I suppose it's vital to point out that, you know, one of the reasons for your being is you have to have certification and standards have to be adhered to.
Yes, absolutely. It's a prerequisite to have organic certification if you're selling a food product as organic, and that's regulated by law. And that's probably one of the major strengths of the organic farming industry insofar as building consumer trust and consumer awareness, because it's a legally standing industry, and farmers do have to adhere to the organic regulations, as you mentioned. So there are specific rules that farmers need to adhere to. It's inspected on an annual basis by companies like the Irish Organic Association, and consumers really trust the whole authenticity of the organic food chain. And that's important for people to know if there is an organic logo on it, that it has been produced to a set of standards.
If we look at the situation now and compare it with maybe 10, 20 or 30 years ago, there was a time that organic products in Ireland, you would have found them hard to find. Now you go down the supermarket aisle, there's a specific section, and many local shops are selling organic produce. So I take it there's been a huge increase in output from your members and the numbers involved.
Well, yes, I suppose in one way there has been, but we're still a very low production base in an Irish context. We're still below 2% of farmers certified organic in the country. And in other European countries, they would be as high as 20%. So, you know, to give you an example, I suppose, in terms of beef produced in Ireland, 0.5% of beef produced in Ireland is certified organic. So when we look, absolutely, there's been a huge increase in the range of organic food available on retail shelves and supermarkets, local shops, but a lot of that food is imported. And as I mentioned, that we're 40 years in existence this year, and for us, we really would love to see that figure grow well beyond the 2%, because there's huge scope and potential. Obviously, as an agriculture producing country, Ireland exports, you know, more than 90% of what's produced. And as of yet, we haven't, as a country, tapped into the huge organic market across Europe that grows year on year in double digit figures. So there's huge potential and scope to increase what's been produced in Ireland and to look seriously at import substitution. While it's great to have so much organic produce available to Irish consumers, it would be a win-win if we could increase the volume of those products that are produced in Ireland.
At the moment, we're hearing a lot about the various proposals and plans for reducing carbon emissions in the farming sector. The agricultural sector is certainly going to have to play its part. A lot of changes coming down the track. And of course, we have this new organic farming scheme as well, which has a number of supports there. And one suspects that there'll be quite a big interest in that.
Yeah, already at the Irish Organic Association, we're seeing a lot of interest from farmers, you know, in terms of the volume of calls, people asking about organic farming. We host farm walks, you know, getting farmers out to see organic farms in production, because for a lot of farmers, that's, you know, they need to see it and to know that it's something that they can replicate on their own farm. And obviously, with the whole area of, as you mentioned, emissions, and agriculture being bound to 25% reduction in the organic sector, we welcome that, because obviously organic farming has huge potential in terms of climate mitigation. And the organic farming scheme that you mentioned, which the new tranche will open under the new cap in October, and we are seeing huge interest with an increase in payments, and they've increased substantially. And for the first time as well, there's a once-off payment of €2,000 for the first year in conversion, and then €1,400 thereafter for each farmer, on top of the increase in the organic farming scheme payments. And the Irish Organic Association have worked quite closely to try and promote and increase the level of support available to organic farmers. So for instance, just to give you a kind of an example, Chris, if you were a 40 hectare farm previously under the organic farming scheme, you would be getting approximately €8,800. Now that will increase to roughly about €12,000 plus the €1,400 payment per year once you have your full organic symbol. Each farmer that comes into the organic sector has to undertake a two-year conversion period, and then you can start selling your produce into the organic market once you have your full organic symbol. So we certainly welcome the increase in the payment rates under the organic farming scheme, and as you outline, you know, it obviously has generated a lot of interest among farmers, and we're certainly here to help farmers who wish to make that transition.
If people want to find out more about the association, you have the website, and you know, it's a great way of getting links, and the support is there. In terms of a person becoming a member, what's the process to become a member?
So the easiest thing to really do is to actually just get in touch with us via email or give the office a call, and all the details are on www.irishorganicassociation.ie, and we're more than happy to chat to you about your own farm as well, because obviously it's different for each farm in terms of their approach about becoming certified, about becoming a member of the Irish Organic Association. We also do a weekly podcast called Organic Matters, which is a great way to kind of, it's production based, so it's really looking at farms, talking to farmers, what they're doing on their farm, what change they had to make when they went organic, how they're selling their product. So there's lots of information there, kind of direct from the farmer's mouth, as it were, to get farmers kind of a little bit more information about the whole sector, because for a lot of people it can be, you know, change is daunting, and obviously converting to organic is something that we would encourage people to, you know, do some research, do some homework about it, because from our point of view, we've got longevity in the sector. As I said, we're 40 years in business, but we also want farmers who come into organics to actually, you know, to really thrive in the sector and to really enjoy what they're doing. And that's the feedback we get from our members.
And finally, Grace, I take it you're fairly upbeat about the prospects for the sector in the coming years.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as I said, we're at less than 2%, and, you know, there's plans in the government to have that increase to 7.5% by 2030. And we certainly welcome that. It would bring us more in line with our European counterparts.
And that was Grace Mead, Development Officer with the Irish Organic Association. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, August the 4th. The death has taken place of Maureen Hegarty, formerly of Drumaweir Greencastle, reposing at her son's home at 5 Woodley, Colmore-Derry. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass at St Pius X Church. Burial immediately afterwards in Ballybrack Cemetery, Moville. Family flowers only, donations of which to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. House private from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Elizabeth McFadden, formerly of Tara Court Letterkenny. Remains will repose at the residence of her son Eddie McFadden, Drumheriff Remelton, tomorrow from 11 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to Christ the King Church, Gortahork, for 12 noon Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in Gortahork Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on MCN Media. The death has occurred of Margaret McHugh, Glengaish Ardra. Her remains will repose at McCabe Funeral Premises today from 5:30, followed by removal to the Church of the Holy Family Ardra for 7:30. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please. The death has occurred of Madeline Gallagher, née McFeely, 88 Crohan Heights, Lifford, County Donegal, reposing at her late residence, which is private place to family, friends and neighbours. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Anne Cooley, née Cole, Cotching Derrybeg, formerly Strana Corker, Gidor. Her remains are reposing at her late residence with rosary at 8:30 nightly. Wake private to family, close friends and neighbours. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Chapel, Derrybeg on Saturday at 12 noon with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Jimmy Sharkey, Shruhan Fulcara. His remains are reposing at his niece Rosemary Kern's residence in Shruhan Fulcara. Funeral Mass in Christ the King Gortahork tomorrow morning at 10:30, with burial afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Rosary tonight at 8 o'clock, with house private place after the rosary and before the funeral tomorrow. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Mary Kern, Meanderry, Fulcara, formerly of Mina Creeve. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in Christ the King Church, Gortahork, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. High strictly private, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mclmedia.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.